Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics, from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today.
So this just made me think about something, because we put a post up yesterday. So you have the top 81 billionaires in the world have more wealth than 50% of the world's population combined. That's 4.6 billion people. So 81 people have more wealth than 4.6 billion people. We already know that Elon Musk is planning civilization on Mars. We just covered that Mark Zuckerberg and his wife are planning to eradicate all human diseases by the year 2100 by using artificial intelligence. And we talked about potential technology to make humans immortal. So it's pretty amazing and discouraging when I go on social media, and what I see is debates about fantasy football. Said rapper having beef with said rapper's husband, food debates, fashion debates, and a bunch of other random nonsense that has no real significance in life. And this is happening in real time right in front of you, and you're being consumed with so much nonsense that you don't even have any concerns or cares about it at all. And it's like robbing a bank right in front of you. You don't even have to actually hide things. It's done in plain sight. When you're looking at this is things that are changing the way that the world will operate and directly affect every single human being that's living on planet Earth. And the vast majority of people are concerned with such unimportant things, they wouldn't even register on any of these things that I just talked about levels. So when you're looking at your life and you're not where you want to be, well, that's the reason. Because you're making conscious decisions to consume things that are taking you away from any level of productivity, and you're staying there, and it's being done on purpose, and everybody should be embarrassed. The people that are doing it on the media side, the people that are actually producing the content should be embarrassed, and the people that's consuming the content should be embarrassed. It's like going back to say, okay, well, there's so much alcohol in the hood. Well, who made you drink alcohol? You're still making a conscious decision. We already know that the cards are stacked against us. So when you make a decision to consume this content, that's a decision that you're making, because there are alternatives. You're watching an alternative right now.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we're never going to have the same level of viewership or interest as any of those things that I just mentioned. So at some point, you have to take self-accountability and realize that as the world changes and as we enter a new world, you can call it a new world order, or you can just call it a new world. You will be a digital slave. And this time your slavery will be voluntary. You signed up for it and you gave no fight, and you will continue to stay at the same level that you're at, potentially even worse, your children also. And that's a decision that you have to make. Are you comfortable with this, or do you want better?
Choice is yours.
The choice is yours.
Let me piggyback off that. Tesla is in talk with Saudi Arabia to open a new factory in that country. Shout out to Jamie Dimon. JP Morgan CEO says that it is a huge mistake to think that the economy will boom anytime soon. This is probably one of the greatest bankers since James Pierpont Morgan, who the firm is named after, is telling you the truth. National debt is $33 trillion. The U.S. government spending, it represents about 25% of GDP. Credit card losses are rising at the fastest rate since 2008, and there have been 116 IPOs on the U.S. stock market in 2023, 27% less than the same time in 2022, and most of them are trash. The trash part was my addition. We have to focus on the parts that really matter. Arm, great. Kudos to Rashawn for being involved in Instacart. And Walmart expects 65% of their stores to be automated by 2026. I don't care what Sexy Red said back to
I don't care who she got to watch from. Like, who cares?
Even a leather jacket. Let's talk about the rant era, all that. I hate I had to even do that to get y'all to watch this information. People are like, he don't know crypto. I know I've been financially free since 2015. You can ask my mom, dad. When I was broke, I'll tell you I was broke. When I was up, I ain't gonna tell you I'm up, but I'm free. You can ask my baby mama, will be good or will be bad? You can see it in Xander's face, right? We have to stop, and I keep pointing this out to every, shout out to Math Hoff, I'm going in this week. I ask every podcaster, and I ask every week, how many podcasters make $1 million a year or more? And Trevor Rashad always laugh because they don't want to say most of them is broke. But I keep asking that question to tell you that having beef in the media does not pay you. Mr. Beast just said on a 500 million view, no, no, 100 million view video he did, he got 500 grand. I said, thank God I'm not in that business. There's a lot of other ways to get 500K real quick. That takes two. If I got 100 million views, I want 300 million. But watch how YouTube, after the strike is fixed with the writers, YouTube ends up being the biggest movie producer in the next 10 years. You got a model to pick from. Hey, bring me a movie, fully produced, fully edited, or we'll pay for the movie in advance. Which one you think will win? I'm going to go with Google for 200. Focus on the things that matter. That's what I put up the other day. Too many opinions, not enough assets. And if I've helped you increase how many assets you have under management in your personal household, please put yes in chat. But we got to stop focusing on the BS. Drake and Charlamagne. Kudos to Charlamagne for not feeding back into the BS. You can't even give an opinion no more. People attack you. The yield on a 10-year treasury skyrocketed to unparalleled heights from 2006. The bond market is now booming after it collapsed since 2020. Even with us, how much fluff conversation do we have? Shout out to the Houston Rockets and Udoku and everybody. We don't have no fluff. hey, we want to talk about diversification. I ain't said too much. Shout out Dylan Brooks. You know what I mean? But shout out to all my Bahamians. Boy. Boy.
H-Town.
It hit different.
You wild for that.
I mean, but not, but it's, I mean, you know, that's like,
you wild for that.
It's like Jay said,
I'm gonna go to the bench.
When Jay was like, yo, we ain't get through to you yet. You're gonna keep your attention is the most valuable commodity. This Absolutely. Is why it's so sought after. So it can never compete with sports. It can never compete with entertainment or celebrity gossip. It's impossible. It's amazing that, you know, you even was able to reach this level and still going. But, you know, at some point in time, you got to take self-accountability. Like I said, we can blame other people, and other people are responsible for a variety of different things, historically and currently. But ultimately, self-accountability has to be had. It has to. And it's like, if you are in a position where you're an adult and you're indulging in these type of mindless entertainment over and over again, it's going to have an effect on your life. It's impossible for it not to. Like, it's impossible for you to know every single thing that's happening on Shade Room, on Academics, on Hollywood Unlocked, and shout out to all of those people.
TMZ.
But I'm just saying, it's just impossible for you to know every single thing that's happening and still be at a highly productive level. It's impossible, because I know billionaires, and I don't know any billionaire that knows any of this stuff that's happening.
Zero.
So you can't.
You're going to have to tell them.
You can't.
That information is a liability.
No, it is
the net negative on it.
Yeah, it is.
I've never heard Mark Cuban talk about Cardi B and Nicki Minaj's beef. I never heard Robert Smith talk about his fantasy football pick. I've never heard Michael Novogratz talk about my terry cloth choice of outfits on InvestFest stage. These are certain things that I've never heard.
That was a good time.
I have heard them talk about artificial intelligence, cryptocurrency, investing in companies, habits, behaviors. These are conversations that I've actually heard. So I'm just saying, you don't have to have the aspiration of being a billionaire, but they're not done by accident. I'm saying these type of habits are not caused by accident. So it's a certain level of self-evaluation that we all have to do. Even us, like, you know, sometimes you gotta look at like, damn, I'm focusing too much on this. This isn't important. Thing. I gotta get back to what's really important, right? Yeah. But you're on YouTube and going through the whole rabbit hole of gangland in America, and you know about the blood set in Stockton, California. It's not beneficial.
BDs in Chicago.
You live in first-hand
experience.
You live in Tampa, Florida. Why are you fascinated with Gangsta Disciples in Chicago, Illinois? It's not beneficial to your life. But yeah, they programmed us to look at somebody else's struggle as entertainment. And absolutely, even like this rap beef and different, that's somebody else's, that's a real life conflict. That's a struggle that somebody has, whether they haven't gotten emotionally mature enough to know how to handle themselves publicly or know how to actually deal with their emotional intelligence. But regardless, these are real problems. And we look at problems as entertainment. Blueface and his baby mom and the kid, like this, people's problems have become our entertainment.
That was kind of the premise of the mental health conversation and the citizen that you're talking about, because they were saying we capitalize on struggle, but nobody talks about solutions. In fact, when solutions are made and solutions are highlighted, everybody dumbs them down or push them to the side. We're not really trying to hear that. And so when you talk about the mental effect that has on you consistently, imagine if you're born into that. And a lot of us are. Like those things that you're speaking of, like going down the rabbit hole on YouTube, but like I can say we're guilty of it.
Everybody has,
right? Like
this is the culture that we came up in.
But there comes a point in time, and I guess a growth inside of somebody that you realize that, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. How is this beneficial? And what can I do with my time other than this? And once you figure that part out, then these things become more entertainment for you. Like market money becomes more entertainment. Earn your lead. These type of things that provide information that can actually change your daily life, that becomes more entertaining. But everybody doesn't get there. And everybody's not going to get there at the same time. And some people may never get there. But the people who do, we got to make sure that they get the information at the highest level.
People have PhDs in gossip.
That's a fact.
That's funny as hell, but true.
An abundance of street credibility will only leave you bankrupt financially. I've never met anybody that was able to cash in any level of street credibility. So it's like it's not transferable.
That's a good quote.
Any financial institution is not transferable. it's just not.
Nowhere.
It's really not. It's not. It's only going to leave you bankrupt.
In the club. In multiple different ways. It might get you a section in the club. Maybe.
That's going to leave you bankrupt.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, once again, I just think that.
I'm going to cut you off, but I'm learning to guess what they're going to say so we can respond to it in advance. What do you say to all the people, but will you guys entertain rappers who promote this culture and yada, yada?
And that's why. And that's why.
Thank you.
We have to. This is only Wu-Tang has one of the best lines. I think it was the Jizza.
Say the line. I got you.
He said, mostly the dumb are intrigued by the drum. So what he's saying by
Master
that
killer.
Is,
Master
you know, people always say like Nas got bad beats. I never listened to rap music for beats.
I listen for the lyrics.
I only listen for lyrics, but I understand what he was saying.
At least weren't that bad either.
That's why he said mostly the dumb is intrigued by the drum. So once we started getting into the era of beats, that's when hip hop really changed. So now I'm just saying, as far as like when
keep going, I'm not gonna stop you.
When the beat overpowered the lyrics, beat is an important part of the song for sure. But the lyrics was always the most important part. When the beat became the most important part, this is when mumble rap comes. You don't have to rap. You could just say anything. You just ride the beat.
Yeah, you can vibe with the beat.
So what I'm saying is that now we're in a situation where, we can't fight against a fire with a water gun. It's just a certain level of intelligence. We have to provide the entertainment for you, because if not, you're not going to listen.
And there's education inside of the entertainment.
And that's why it's called edutainment.
Edutainment. Yeah, that was crazy. Master Killer on Triumph, he said that. That's the first time in years I quoted him.
You can't feed a baby steak. Can't feed a baby steak either. You actually end up killing the baby. This is wisdom and understanding that there's growth and maturation. So we're still immature as people. We have a long way to growing to being mature. So when a baby is born, You don't feed it solid foods. You have to feed it applesauce. You have to feed it, you know, milk.
Not yet. No. They're going to be like, no, you can't feed that one.
I'm just saying an infant.
I know, so, but that's what the
over the course of time. No, this is a serious conversation. No, serious. So, I mean, you got to have a certain level of maturity to even understand. Like, you got to be able, if you're immature enough to do that, then you shouldn't be listening. So you have to have a certain amount of maturity to even understand what I'm saying. So it takes time for a baby to grow into a toddler. It takes time for the toddler to grow into a child. It takes time for the child to grow into a teenager, and it takes time for the teenager to grow into a young adult. It takes time for the young adult to grow into an adult, and it takes time for the adult to grow into a wise person. If you try to force that growth too early, then you'll end up hurting them. You'll end up hurting them. If you try to feed a baby steak, you're gonna end up hurting them. If you try to make a 5-year-old drive a car, you're gonna end up hurting them. If you try to make a 12-year-old go out in the world and fend for himself, you're gonna end up hurting them. So as a leader, it's your responsibility to make sure that you're guiding people in the right direction over the course of time, in ways that they can understand, in the language that they can understand, in a speed that they can actually keep up with. If not, then what are we doing it for?
Yeah, but the thing is, we don't have time.
Well, all we have, only thing that we have is time, because if you look at it, it's like we had the conversation with Diddy, and he's like, "Yo, we got to make rapid change and give them different things." And he's like, "Yo, that's not quick enough." Well, we got in this situation. This isn't even 400 years. Slavery, they said 400 years. This is actually even longer than that. When you look at the fall of Africa from Kemet all the way to Mali, this is thousands of years. This white supremacy has been in rule for thousands of years.
Yeah.
Right. So this is something that, unfortunately, you can't reverse something like that in 1 year or 5 years. This is why when Mark Zuckerberg has a 100-year plan, this is important. When CEOs of Japan are looking at 300 and 500-year plans for their company, mm-hmm. that's important. Unfortunately, we are always only thinking about tomorrow and a week. Our long-term planning is next year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like Friday, that's our long-term planning. Like, you know what I'm saying? But that's not a formula that's sustainable. That might be beneficial for individual person, but when you look at a collective, we can't even agree on one particular issue. Like, there's not one issue that, as a collective, Black people really agree on. So even reparations, people can't even agree on that.
In that analogy, this is important. So in that analogy, where would you say that we're at? Are we still in the infancy stage, or are we looking at, are we compartmentalizing where we're saying this financial revolution is at the infancy stage, or as I shouldn't say Black culture, but our community, where would you say that we're at? I guess over the last decade, that would be fair.
Honestly?
Yeah. Where we at? What you guys think?
I think we got to be in the infancy stage. We just had the right to vote 60 years ago. Like, mm-hmm. we technically wasn't even treated as equal human beings in this country until recently. So we are just now learning about this financial literacy information that we're providing. It's so revolutionary because the vast majority of people have never even, they don't even know anything about it. Mm-hmm. They never knew about stocks or real estate, or let alone private equity, venture capital. So
angel investment. Yeah.
You know what's interesting? I'm just going to add to this point. What you're saying is very important. The higher we go and the more people that we meet, let's say of stature and of certain levels of financial freedom, the less knowledge. There's some at the top that have the knowledge, but as we go, we're meeting people, and I never knew what that was. I had no idea. Thank you guys. That's why you guys are so important. So it's even interesting as we climb, because I know that's something even in the financial planning world, I would meet people of a certain level of intelligence, and you would think, oh, they should know that.
They didn't know.
But their discipline is not in finance. Their discipline is in health, or it's in medicine, and they didn't have the discipline to know what finance is. And so the higher we climb, we're starting to see, like, this thing is really something that's been absent from a lot of different disciplines. So go ahead, though. I wanted to.
It gotta be at least a 50-year plan.
50.
It gotta be at least a 50-year plan. This is why it's like, you start with education. Like, you gotta understand too. I think Frederick Douglass said it's a lot easier to train. I'm paraphrasing. It's a lot easier to build strong boys than to rebuild broken men. So, and that goes for men or women. But that's what he said. So you gotta start. All right, now if we implement this program. And it starts with somebody that's 5 years old. Now, because the problem with the 5-year-old is that even if their parents is going to be negative influences. Mm-hmm. So you got to really, it's a whole generation that has to, of negativity that has to be replaced before a next generation can even get in a position to teach their children.
So this becomes the new compounded interest, right? Where we look at the time, the information is now the rate that we got to look at, right? They get it at 5. At 10, they have it, but then there's a generation that they're going to learn even faster.
So,
in a sense, that is the compounded interest of the future.
But in the investment, you got to look at the threats. Like, if she wouldn't have came on, most people wouldn't have even known that they're actively fighting. So even when I bring up the rants and stuff, like, I tell people all the time, like, there's a reason for A, to get your attention, but there's a message I'm trying to also sneak in. Even when they have the conversation about diversity inclusion, and that's why I'll shout out to Nicole, got the event with JP Morgan next month, I believe. There's a lot of interest in us post George Floyd, but now that that has been eradicated, I've had a couple talks with some companies and like, hey, that was the first thing that got cut, especially with Marcus turnaround, the marketing budget and diversity inclusion. Let's do the hell with that. The only part that troubles me is that while we are slow to get off the blocks, those that don't want us to have this information, they're moving really, really, really fast to make sure that we don't have it. Really fast. We got to move faster. And this is always my point. I never have to tell a guy, get the courage to go talk to a girl. Go buy Balenciaga. I never have to push that. Nike, shit company right now. If inflation goes up and consumers have less to spend, it won't be a great stock. I don't want to keep talking about the same 7 to 8 companies, but there is a reason why. So I'm going to be honest and say we have to move faster. Because when I woke up and saw that Charlamagne and Drake post, I saw thousands of comments of commentary. And people write think pieces, and you're not monetizing and making no money.
You're obsessed with me, bro.
Like, bro.
I mean, but once again, that's their personal thing that they have going on. But why is that? Time.
Why is, but that, why is everybody headline? Commenting so much?
Yeah, on, why is like, that a headline? Why is that a headline of trending topic?
Hey, what can you do?
Aaron's going to court tomorrow. Let's talk about that.
Yes.
Like, let's talk about that.
I mean, we could just, it's human species. Is it always meant for a select group of people to have knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, than the masses of people just to be ignorant? That's how it always has been throughout human civilization. So yeah. I think that you might get frustrated when you're trying to uplift the masses and make them enlightened. They don't want to be enlightened. If the vast majority of people, if 100,000 people watch Market Mondays, those are the 100,000 people that want to get enlightened. If a million, if a 3 million people is going to watch academics talking about Chicago drill and Drake and whoever, beef, whatever, Charlamagne, then it's hard to really advocate for those 3 million people because they're making conscious decisions. Mm. You could say now they're not educated enough to even make a decision, but at a certain point, it's getting increasingly hard,
mm-hmm. hard
to make that argument because there's so much access to information. There wasn't always access to information.
Yep.
Back previously, it was that's illegal to read. Difference. Previously, yep. Information was hidden. You didn't even have an opportunity to be educated. So mm-hmm. you were purposely left ignorant. Now it's becoming increasingly difficult to have yeah. that same level of empathy for adults because mm-hmm. at some point you see something on social media and you decide not to watch it. It's somebody's giving you some level of information at some point.
Everybody at this point. And
you're making a decision to be like, nah, that's not for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. The access to information, the barriers are so low at this point that it is a conscious decision that you're making to not be educated. Straight up. I don't know how many entrepreneurs that we've spoken to who have become successful who haven't said, I watched YouTube TV prior to Earn Your Leisure. Right? I watched YouTube TV. I did this.
For free.
Just to learn. I just happened to watch it. Or I could watch Bad Bunny's video.
Shout out to Benito.
Shout out to him. I ain't knocking him. He got a bunch of billion viewed videos. But like,
yeah.
These are choices. We're making them.
Yeah. At what point, what age do you think we should make the cutoff from being entertained to learning to make our lives better?
It's difficult.
But what would you tell your son? Let's say that.
I mean, you got to understand a certain level. It's hard to for me personally, I was always on that my whole entire life. I always was on. I always obviously listen to music. I'm in the culture. So I'm not like a monk, but I always had a more serious demeanor since I was young.
Yeah.
I always was on that type of time. Like I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad when I was 17, 18 years old. Like yeah. that was like a whole, you know, Bible for me as far as education is concerned. That's probably like what a lot of 50-year-olds don't know. But even before that, I was always interested I was interested in stocks. I was interested in business. You know that somebody's making money. Mm-hmm. That's how I always look at it. Like somebody's making mm-hmm. money. So I'm interested to know who's making money and then how can I make money? So to answer your question, it's difficult. I think, you know, because you can't have those same level of expectations for kids.
Yeah.
But
I think there's a intersection. I think what makes us unique, and I think it's what's made us unique since we were younger, was that we were able to find information inside of the entertainment. I think we had this ability.
It's there.
I think we had the ability to decode some of the messages. I think we were able to break down and have, you know, a common understanding when it came to music, especially when it came to sports. It was, yes, this is entertainment, but yes, this is business. Why do you get this contract? Who's his advisor? Who's his agent? Like, those are the kind of conversations that we were having on top of having the ones that obviously in the barbershop, you know, when you're in school. So you can't alienate them from it because there's lessons to be learned inside of it. We had a conversation with Lauren and she was talking about Roblox. I'm like, there's an intersection there. And we've said this plenty of times. Yes, kids enjoy it. Let's meet them where they're at. Let's tell them that this is a publicly traded company. So it's just about finding the intersections. I don't think we can cut off the age and say, you know what, at 13, you're no longer watching this. Can you put time restrictions on some of it? Yeah. Can you incorporate education inside of some of it? Of course. And then you're going to have the real world experiences that you can provide for them as well. So I think it's a mixture. I don't think it's a cutoff, because had that been cut off for me, or, and I could, maybe I could speak for him as well, I don't know where we would be without music. I don't know where we would be without sports.
I mean, I just say, and it's the last thing I'll say about this, I just don't understand how you don't want to just take your life serious. And like I said, even for me, it wasn't like I was in business my whole life. When I was playing basketball, like that's what I was doing all day. I was trying to better myself because I felt like that was a pathway to me.
The way up,
I never was a gamer. Just saying that's not what I was doing. I was never a gamer. I was never somebody that was just smoking weed. Like I, of course you get introduced to that and that's a decision that's easy to make, but I was always serious. Like I always was serious about my life. Like I want to do something. I want to just be a regular person. I want to be a special person. So I don't understand how you can just have so much complacency. It's just it's difficult for me to comprehend because it's just so much serious stuff that's going on. Like I said, no matter what you want to do, like whatever you want to do with your life, you only get one shot at it.
Yeah.
So why would you not take it serious? Like, why would you get an opportunity to breathe every single day? That's a blessing.
Is that the defense mechanism that kicks in? All right. If I pretend that it's not happening, if I ignore it,
that's what it is.
It's not happening because my life is, there's so much real happening in my life that I need to be distracted by the realness of it.
Do you feel like
it's a defense mechanism?
I don't know if it's a defense mechanism. I just think that it's a thing where people don't have that same level of urgency. Like I said, if you look at it from a standpoint of like, it's a blessing. You're actually blessed to be able to walk, stand up and breathe. That's a blessing. There's a lot of people that are incarcerated. There's a lot of people that's dead. There's a lot of people that aren't physically able to even operate or mentally able to operate. So if you have a sound mind and a sound body, that's a blessing. I think it's disrespectful to just take that blessing and just do nothing with your life or do minimal amount. Everybody has the ability to be great in certain areas. So you could be the best carpenter. You could be the best investor. Like they said, he's the master investor. What is he going to say? The average investor? Like, why would you, you know, say want to be anything?
Strive for it? Yeah.
Why would you strive for mediocrity? Like we say, we're the biggest. What are we supposed to say? We're the smallest. Like people get offended. Like, oh, they saying they arrogant. They saying he's big or he's arrogant. He's saying he's the master investor. Like, well, what are you saying you're the best in? Because you
why weren't you putting out the information before I did it? They drugged me online. They didn't want to show my face on camera. They're like, no, you got to, like, if you're gonna do a YouTube show, you got to like put up a camera. You should have made 2 Tech Index.
Never show your face. Be like Ghostface Killer.
Hey, I don't know. I'm gonna go get my mask last year.
No mask. You
know, but it's like, even when I put up that post, shout out to my guy Zoe. I was like, yo, stay inside for 2 years. That's a small sacrifice. Like when I asked Kyrie, like, how long were you playing to get to the league? He like, bro, what you mean? Every day since 8. That's what I dreamed about. When I met Kyrie, he was doing triple threat in front of me. And I'm like, I ain't playing. I ain't nuts off from a butter rim. You got me. I can't hurt you.
Yeah, that nuts off.
But it shows the level of passion. And the thing that we're really trying to convey is like, you have to have passion for something every day. You have to get after it. Even when we're traveling around, these are still our talks.
Yeah.
You get one life, you choose. And this is what I will say for everybody who goes outside all the time, who parties a lot, and y'all, like, I'm seeing a bunch of people looking like they're happy when they're out. When I see you in real life, you look miserable. It's better to have the real life that you're really happy about when you don't got to post than to pretend like you're posting for somebody else's media. And I'm telling you like this, the media that y'all posting on don't make that much money for the people who own the media.
The last thing I want to say about this, because you brought up a good point, and I've been meaning to talk about this for a while because we spend a lot of time in Atlanta and we go out all the time. But
I think I know what you're
going to say. A celebration is meant to celebrate something. So when Drake said drinking every night because we drink to my accomplishments, there's some level of truth to that, right? He actually has something that he can actually celebrate every single night because he's worked hard enough to put himself in a position financially where it's not hurting him. And then also he's earned his leisure on that certain level. How many black businesses do we need for nightclubs? And we're not even owning the nightclubs or bars or hookah lounges. And how many parties can we have? Right? How many? Like it's every single day. It's a variety of different options to celebrate. And this is globally. When we went to Lagos, Nigeria, when we went to Jamaica, black people party at unprecedented levels. This might go back to a thing of like suppressing the pain because you know that financially, globally, we're in the last place globally. So everybody's not rich. Everybody that's buying these bottles can't afford these bottles. So is it a thing of just saying like, I'm just going to just have fun in this moment because I know when I wake up tomorrow, it's back to, you know, the pain.
That's a lot of it.
But yeah, that's what at some point we got it. Like, and like I said, I have fun. I go to clubs all the time, but I'm just seeing a pattern with this where this has become an industry. Once again, going back, we don't even own the clubs. It wouldn't even be that bad if we actually had real ownership. We don't even own these nightclubs. We're just promoters. We're party promoters. And we're, the people that's really getting rich off of this are the liquor companies, which we have no ownership in.
Yeah, they won't let us own.
We heard Diddy talk about that. And the owners of the nightclubs, which 90% of the people that own these physical buildings and structures are not black people.
Yeah.
So, and even the people that rent the clubs are not black people. Only the black people in this equation are the customers, the bottle service girls and security and the promoters. That's it. That's the ecosystem of this. Strip clubs, lounges, hookah lounges, bars. It's consuming a decadent lifestyle at an extremely high level that's extremely unproductive.
Champagne for the pain.
And it's everywhere that we go. Like I said, this is not just America. We went to Lagos. Mm-hmm. That's all we did was party. And they told me 40% of the nightclubs were owned by people from Beirut.
Mm-hmm. Was it Beirut or Lebanon?
I think Beirut is in Lebanon.
Oh, yes.
So the Lebanese own the nightclub industry and the hospitality industry in Lagos.
Whole other country.
You can't even control your own industry in a black country.
We're not doing it in Black City.
I keep saying our music culture, when we scream all that for the culture, shit, not our culture either. Name me 9 black music executives that run anything. Tough, even with Adam Vulture, Vlad Vulture, how they're vulturing their own culture. Most of the people who do the negative responses to stuff are not black. Champagne for the pain.
First champagne for the pain. Weed for the low.